Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Breaching the Enemy's Contract. Scripture says in Matthew 6:21 that for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is Apostle Dr. Danette Verchet of Array of Hope Ministries Christian Center in Fayetteville, North Carolina, right here in the United States of America. And you are literally listening to the Glory Network. We give God the glory and honor for this awesome network. We give God the glory and honor for just who he is. And you are on Breaching the Enemy's Contract because information is knowledge. Information is always key. On today, I want to go over a few things regarding a virtuous woman. What a virtuous woman is, the divine order of a woman, and literally divine order of a Christian home. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that the world has and should have no influence in the Christian home, that what is between you and your husband is an understanding of what you both have spoken about and have declared before God. Single women, this is what God has called you to as well, but the world does not get an opportunity to dictate and or try to influence you in any other way as it relates to being a godly woman and being a virtuous woman. In Proverbs 31, we understand that it's been thrown around pretty loosely for centuries. The understanding and the yearning to be this type of woman, it's hard to hold a light to many women and for women to want to aspire to be a Proverbs 31 woman, but not really knowing what the real attributes are. And the men who desire to be completed by this type of woman, that the description of a virtuous woman is designed to show what wives the women would make, and that what wives the men should choose. We have a comparison in the New Testament in 1 Timothy 2 and 9 and 10, and then in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, where the duty described to wives agrees with the description of a good wife. So if we begin to look at a certain literature, we see that there's no finer tribute to the domestic virtues and the spiritual qualities of women that are beautiful, that they are poetic, that we are dedicated to being a gifted mother. We have to give praise for the feminine virtues and the beauty and the inner and the outer beauty of a good woman, for that is what is praised. In the world today, we understand that it is sex crazed and it's filled with incubus and succubus spirits that are all over the place that cause you to misrepresent who you are, because the world now dictates to you how you need to dress, how much cleavage you need to show, how high your hem needs to be, how high your heel should be in order for the extension of your legs to sway the eye of the male nature, for you to be seen, for you to be represented as a woman, to identify you as a woman. But understand that clothes and high heels don't make you a woman, that it is the inner beauty that makes you a woman, and maybe a little fresh paint on your face makes you feel good on the outside, but you really feel good on the inside because God is residing with you, that the Holy Spirit is in you, and that the Holy Ghost shines everywhere that you go. So sex sells to the world. Sex should not be selling in the church. So you need to decrease a little bit so God can shine through you, because all they're seeing, we're going to breach it right now, all they're seeing is your outer appearance. All they are seeing is that type of beauty. But when they have a conversation with you, there is nothing between your ears, and that you cannot hide behind God. Men of God, know what you're looking for in a virtuous woman. in a Proverbs 31 woman. Understand that in a sex-crazed world, that when women, here's where women are sacrificing the characteristics of femininity and nobility, that they're like nicotine dope fiends to men. This is what they're drawing to. This is what they're addicted to. And so it's really encouraging to know that there are real Christian women and wives and mothers who strive to keep themselves unspotted from the world. We know that we've all gone through some trials, that we have all gone through some tribulations, that we've all had some issues, and those issues are sometimes what keeps us from really finding love and causes us to settle for what it is that looks like a man, talks like a man, smells like a man, and wants to act like he wants to treat you like one until it's time for you to be a leg spreader. So hear what I'm saying. This is how we keep the vajayjay clear of all kinds of diseases, even the very thought of what he would want to do to us, but how we would still want to lay and still want to eat and go dine and live in sin. We all have committed it. We all have done it, and some of us are still in it. I thank God I'm not. But let's breach the enemy's contract right now and set the record straight. So here, in understanding this, don't give up your femininity. Don't give up the characteristics that make up a virtuous mother and a virtuous woman. Strive to be unspotted. So although sometimes we become, we're weary in our tasks, and there's no 40-hour week job, and some women, that they are weary of all of those tasks on their job, in their home. Understand a virtuous woman can get weary. And sometimes you do have to work outside the home. But understand what's going on, that a virtuous woman spends her time and her life is sometimes unknown by the world in that narrow circle of the home, and that which she labors in unceasingly for God and others. But understand, you will not lose your reward. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? The world should not know what's going on in your home. The world, keep your, otherwise, let's just put it like this and keep it 100, that keep your business to yourself. Stop wearing your business on your sleeve. And what you decide to be transparent about, make sure you can handle whatever backlash might come back from it, that it does not disrupt your home, it does not disrupt your kids, that it does not disrupt your relationship with your husband. So be mindful of what you put out there. Now here, God's eye is upon a virtuous woman as you live out your life in the midst of his will and amid all the cares, the trials, and the sorrows at home, that one day when the books are open, that your devotion will be commended by him who sees and knows all, that a virtuous woman is a queen among women with prominent features of character that is noticeable and could be preached about as well as taught about, that she lives for her home and her family, that she is a sharp businesswoman. She's on point. She's on cue about her business, that she's self-disciplined. She carries self-confidence without drama. She's alluded to all the things that have taken place in her life, but she doesn't wear them on her sleeve. She has good and refined taste, that she is commendable. She is a commendable woman. She is a commendable wife. She is virtuous because she is spiritually minded. We've got some people who are not spiritually minded. A virtuous woman, her self-esteem is built to a point to where she understands her faults. She understands what she's gone through with her issues. She understands what it means to be broken. She understands what a heavy heart is. But she can carry the burden because she takes her cares and she places them at the Lord's. That is why she is virtuous. She's virtuous because she understands that chaos and drama may come to her home, but she does not let it defeat her relationships. She does not let it defeat her spiritual mind. She stays focused. So that's how she keeps her husband happy. That's how their days are numbered with each other. That's why she's a worthy wife, and that's why her husband receives that type of joy from her, that years will be upon them with the peace. A virtuous woman, she's a good gift. Understand that she shall be given to those who fear the Lord. That if those who fear the Lord see her, those men that are in her life, those men that she ministers to, those men, her children I'm talking about, those men, those male children will understand, wow, I want a woman like that. That's an ideal woman that I would like, someone who is like my mama, but not my mama, that won't treat me like a mama's boy, but will understand that I respect her for being who she is. That for rich or for poor, that her husband has a joyful heart, and that's what gaiety is. That's why when you see a woman who is happily married, you see that there was divine order in their home, because Ephesians 5 and 23 and 33 and 1 Corinthians 7 and 1 Timothy 2, 13 through 15, it gives us the understanding of what the marriage is, what divine order is, that redemption's work was to bring back the man and the woman into divine order, that the Christian home should be a place of order, that the husband and the wife relationship should exemplify and typify the relationship of Christ and his bride, the church. Come on here, let's breach the enemy's contract. We got people talking about that we won't behold the bride cometh, that the Lamb is preparing everybody for the bride, that he's coming back, but understanding what he's coming back for and what he wants to see and the righteousness of God, that Paul's writings were clear as to the order of the home, that the husband is the head, that the covering, the protecting lover and the provider for the home, that the wife is to be submitted in love and honor and reverencing her husband's headship, that she's to be under his love and his covering, both co-equal as persons, yet they are in divine order, that nothing alters that fact. That the husband is to love his wife as Christ loves the church. The wife is to submit to herself to her husband and reverence him in 1 Peter 3 and 18. So we see in this, it doesn't mean that he's superior over you. Understand, it doesn't mean that there's got to be an argument that there's a dictatorship of the man or inferiority of the woman or her suppression under the guise of submission. The order of headship is what's demonstrated in the Godhead and the relationship existing between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of the woman, or the husband is the headship in the head over the wife and the home in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3, that man and woman together, they're under the headship of Christ, that Christ is the man, the husband, and the head of the church. The church is the woman, the wife, and the mother. Hear what that means. It means authority. It means order. It means loving care. It means discipline and covering, protection and provision and responsibility and security. Let him have it. Men of God, this is what God is calling you to be responsible for. Women, have glory. Women, step back and let him lead. If we want to understand the biblical headship, then we have to see it in the perfectly manifested. Help me out now, Holy Ghost. And in the Godhead and the headship of Christ over the church, that it illustrates the order of the home, that loving order between the husband and the wife, the man and the woman, that it illustrates the order that should be in the church, that the house of the Lord, that one exemplifies the other, that headship should not be looked upon negatively because of its misrepresentation. and authority, but be submitted under authority. Be covered. Whether married or single, you can be married and be in ministry, but still be covered. You can be single and be in ministry, but still be covered. Nobody's coming to try to take your ministry away from you. Let's breach the enemy's contract, because it's not yours in the first place. It's God. Understand that humanness, philosophy, it takes the woman out of the home, and it makes her feel as if she's a slave being a homemaker. So now it seeks to destroy the first God-ordained unity, and this is the family. That blessed is a man who has a prudent wife, who can guide the house, love her husband, love her children, and be the glory of her husband. In Proverbs 19 and 14 and 18 and 22. So when we understand this, we get the idea that if first the natural, then the spiritual. If the woman is not to have the headship in the natural home, then it would be contradictory to have it in the house of the Lord, that it would be a violation of the divine principles. So women, understand, minister. We minister in many realms, except where it's involved taking authority over the man. Be in authority, but understand authoritative measures. Women minister with gifts of God that are subject to the oversight and male headship. Understand, male headship that protects you. It doesn't take away from you. It protects you. That's where we've got the chaos and the confusion, because that's the pattern of the Word of God. I'm in authority, but I'm submitted under authority, and I'm single. I just don't submit to anybody, because you got to have some act right about you, too. Let's breach the enemy contract up in here. And we're not dealing with a dictatorship here. The husband, understand, is the head of the house. The head of the wife. Woman is subject to male headship. The wife is under the husband's rule. She submits voluntarily to his leadership. This typifies the church, the wife of the Lamb. Understand, who is subject to the headship of Christ? The husband. The church is under the rule of Christ. Ephesians 5:23-32. Women, let me help you out. Miriam was a prophetess and acted under the authority of Moses and Aaron, but was judged when she criticized him in Exodus 15 and 20 and Numbers 12. That Deborah was a judge, prophetess, and mother in Israel, was a married woman, and her husband's name being Lapidus. Understand, she acted with authority with Barak when he failed to go to battle without her, and the victory became hers in Judges 4 and 5. So now she counseled with Israel's governor. Queen Esther married the king Ahasuerus, understand, acted under Mordecai's words and brought deliverance to a whole nation from the sword of death in Esther 1-11. Understand, Huldah the prophetess was a married woman. Her husband's name was Shalom. Yet also, understand, were her counsel. Yet they recognize, understand, Huldah, she also had responsibility. She had responsible men about her, godly King Josiah, the high priest, and the princes of Israel were her counsel. And they recognized the mantle of the word of the Lord in her mouth, even though they were men. Come on here. Isaiah's wife was a prophetess, and her husband, Isaiah, was over her in the Lord. There was male headship. We also have four women that were mentioned in Matthew. They were all married, and their husbands are mentioned along with them. Philip's four daughters were under their father's authority when they prophesied. Any woman who made a vow had to do it under the authority of her father or her husband. They couldn't. You cannot nullify that vow in Numbers 30. That Priscilla taught under her husband Aquila's authority in Acts 18. In every reference but one, Priscilla, the woman, is mentioned first. Phoebe, the deaconess of the church of the Centuria, acted under Paul's authority in the service at the church of Rome. Anna, the prophetess, was under the temple authority as she lived in the temple chambers and were also priests of the Lord. That's where they lived too. In Proverbs, we are warned. Now, here is where we're warned against contentious and strange women. Here, the women, the woman is responsible to the man, and the man is responsible for the woman. Contentious spirits, be careful. Proverbs 9. 13 and 21 and 9 and 19 and so on and so on. This is how we understand that both male and female to fulfill together the roles under divine order. As the church, the woman is subject to Christ, the man, and fulfills her role and ministry accordingly. To the women, have the home in divine order. How can you minister in the house of the Lord when your own home is out of order? If your own home is out of order, you take that baggage and you take it to the church people. So now everybody is feeling your hurt, feeling your pain. Woe is me. I'm broken. I'm broke down. I'm disgusted. They hurt me. I tried. So now he talked about me bad. So now everybody knows your business at home. And if you're single, now everybody at your ministry knows what's going on. And then you wonder why it's all the crazy talk. I dare you to come sit up in my house and just watch my daily life and watch how I live. Don't do it behind the screen. Don't try to do it from afar. Just call me and I'll let you in the door so you can come and sit and see what I do. Don't assume anything. I'm preaching the enemy's contract right now. I go to sleep by myself and wake up with myself. You hear what I'm saying? So we rebuke incubus and succubus now, and that's what some of us need to do. We need to call it quit, cut it off, shut it down. Stop abusing yourself. Can't nobody abuse you unless you allow it. But if it's in your house and you're being abused, do something about it. Get rid of it. Call the police. File a lawsuit. Give them an eviction notice. Leave now in Jesus' name. So when you are ministering and being in divine order as a virtuous woman, just make sure, and in ministry, just be scripturally qualified as a godly woman with character qualities. Be scripturally gifted and anointed of the Lord. Be under male leadership, either your husband's or a church leader, so that you can act under authority and not usurp authority. That's the issue, is that we are in authority, then we usurp authority over male headship. It's all right to be in authority. He recognizes you being in authority. But stop messing it up because you've got this women's lib and women's liberation mentality. That's not kingdom mentality. That's renegade mentality. That is, look at me, look what I'm doing. I did it all by myself. It's just up. This is women's ministry up over here. And stop building up another church within a church with your husband. And so the women are coming to you and with issues, and then he don't know about it. So now you done built up two churches within one church. Stop it. Stop it. That's not God. You and your husband are in ministry together. Stop letting that spirit, that Paniah spirit, it ain't even Jezebel or Delilah anymore. You hear what I'm saying? It's a Paniah spirit. Because if you already got what you got and it's set straight, and if you're secure, can't nobody come and talk crazy. Can't nobody come and taunt you. Can't anybody come and antagonize you, because you know that you know that you know. I'm helping somebody out here that's your husband. That's the church that God placed you in. She want what you got. Understand Hannah. Hannah had it all. She could cry out to the Lord. Peninnah didn't have good sense. Peninnah had the husband. She had the baby. She could have that, but she didn't have the Spirit of God. You hear what I'm saying? She didn't have the anointing. That she did not have the Holy Ghost. That she didn't have what Hannah had. What Hannah had produced miracles. What Hannah had produced gifts. What Hannah had produced miracles. Spiritual gifts, fruits of the Spirit, sincerity, character, dominion, authority. And Penina comes to destroy that so you can never manifest what God has to you, has for you in your worship. Because your praise and your worship is what he honors. That's the divine order of a virtuous woman. That's the divine order of any woman who is pressing toward the mark for that high calling. That is in God's presence. That is on her knees. So I'm telling you, beware of humanist philosophy that teaches women's liberation. You better get away from that ministry that's teaching this is how we do it. And the men are being called first husbands or the first male deacons. Or the devil is a liar. You better slap him. Ain't no first husband. He is the husband. And if he's not in ministry like you, respect him. Let him be who he is. He still has authority and reverence him as such so he can step up to the plate and be in ministry side by side with you. Be an example of a godly woman in word, deed, and character to all other women in the house of the Lord. Beware. Beware of having that masculine spirit as a man would beware of having a feminine spirit. Because some women today are too mannish and some men are womanish. Hey, that's because the roles reversed in the atmosphere and created a unisex mentality. I got to preach that one day. So understand that we've got to realize that if no one is leading, then no one is following. And if everyone is following, then no one is leading. Being mature means that you can lead and follow. That's the balance in the relationship between a godly man and a godly woman and the divine order of a virtuous woman, whether you're in ministry or not. You're a married woman. The Bible speaks of you if you are a Christian. To God be the glory for what he has done. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what's gone forth on today. We give you glory and give you honor. Bless this word. Bless somebody and bless their home and their marriages. In Jesus' name I pray. This has been Apostle Dr. Danette Vershay of Araya Hope Ministries Christian Center and DMV Ministries. We thank you. And this has been the Glory Network. To God be the glory. Love yourself enough to do better. Goodbye.